This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm Shannon Power, your host on tonight's Informer.
And I'm Alana Schetzer. On tonight's show, we'll find out the big news in the AFL and we'll bring together Australia's top queer journos to tackle the week's big news.
But first, we're going to catch up on a story we were meant to play last night, but we ran out of time. By now, we're all familiar with the tragic situation facing gay men in Chechnya. Their government has vowed to rid the region of gay men. It has set up concentration camps to detain gay men, torture them, and in some cases, kill them.
Last week, we spoke to the Russian LGBT network who were helping to evacuate men from Chechnya. France and Lithuania were the first countries to offer some of the men asylum. But an event in Hong Kong this week is sharing a novel idea of how we can help. They're calling on people to donate their frequent flyer miles. Bess Hepworth from Planet Ally tells us more.
I'd like to welcome Bess Hepworth, who is in Hong Kong and is the founder of Planet Ally, to The Informer. Welcome, Bess. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely awesome to chat to you.
Awesome. Now, you are putting together a special event in aid of the men in Chechnya who are being persecuted by their government. What sort of aim, I guess, are you going for in terms of what your community in Hong Kong can do to help these men in Chechnya?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I remember being in the social media space. I remember when that story broke, and I'm sure like you and many of the listeners, just absolutely like chilled to the core that not only is this happening, not only are, you know, it's awful to say, but we know so much of our global community is under threat, you know, daily. But when you see words like concentration camp being built and the absolute targeting and the disappearance of men, and not just, you know, at 100 at a time, it's chilling. It's absolutely chilling. And I guess what I'm trying to do with this event, what our community is trying to do, and what I, as an ally, even though I'm openly gay, but as an ally to our entire community, is find ways to leverage our privilege. For me, I'm a Caucasian Aussie expat. I've been out in Hong Kong for 12 years, and I see an event like an opportunity to create an event where not only can we learn about what's going on, but we can genuinely take action and support an NGO like Rainbow Railroad that is literally helping people escape from persecution and the survivors of, you know, those that are lucky enough to survive what's going on right now. So it was just an automatic call to action for me of like, I can't sit idly by. Our community's in a position to do something. Let's figure out what's the best use of our privilege and in our power to do something.
That's amazing. So even, you know, our listeners, presumably many of them aren't in Hong Kong and won't be for your fundraising event and awareness event happening on June 2nd. But I think the lessons that will come out of that are applicable to an Australian audience. So what lessons, firstly, what groups are you working with to help the men in Chechnya? But what also can people listening right now do to help get these men out of Russia?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that resonated with me, and it's probably also because my wife's a pilot, which is one of the reasons why we're in Hong Kong as expats, but one of the things that Rainbow Railroad have done is created an opportunity to donate your air miles. And so that to me is incredible, in the same way that, you know, when people are at the supermarket at Coles or Woolies and you want to use your points, you know, I just think that this is such an incredible way to be able to take, again, it's a privilege to have that. And if some of our demographic are in a position financially to be able to donate some air miles, which it's been incredibly humbling to know that, because we've been receiving emails from the media articles being put out about this of people going, I want to donate, what can I do? So there's that. There's also, I'm sure that many of you are familiar with All Out, the absolutely brilliant global LGBTI a platform that takes a petition-based mobilisation, and so they've created a funding stream as well, but they've got their petitions that they look to go straight to Russian embassies to present. So I think what we're trying to do is coordinate from whether you're a student that doesn't have any money but may have a minute of time to be able to sign a petition, or you're a corporate outleader or ally in terms of Hong Kong in the multinational space that's like, yes, I can absolutely donate some air miles to that. That is something that I am able to do and comfortably. And so for me, it's just finding those ways to activate allyship. And I guess that's kind of why we created Planet Ally. It's a love letter to a problem.
That's really sweet. And I guess you raised a good point that no matter what your financial means or ability to help the men in Chechnya, there is something that everyone can do. And I spoke to the Russian LGBT network last week, and they said, particularly for people not directly in Russia, we can continue to put pressure on our politicians to stand up to Russia and get them to act on it. We can sign petitions. We can donate money too, because I think the priority is evacuating these men from Chechnya. And you said that you were working with Rainbow Railroad, who, you can donate air miles to literally fly these men out.
Yeah.
But they do incredible work around the world. You read me some stats before. What sort of work do the Rainbow Railroad do?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I literally only heard about them a matter of weeks ago, and it just struck me, just what a brilliant idea it is. And so basically, they've actually been around since 2006, and I'm like, how have I never heard of this? But they're based in Canada. Even just today, they put a tweet out saying that they've moved 78 people to safety this year alone, including 9 last week. And we're not even talking about the Chechen community. We're talking about Jamaica, Trinidad, Nigeria, Liberia. We just have to be able to try to tell more people that this is an option, that this is an organization that really deserve more visibility. I think it's, when you go on their website, it's one guy, one founder. I think it is something that the world, the global community and our allies are starting to rally. There is a large demographic of active allies in the expatriate space and also the local corporate space, which is particularly who we're trying to target right now, and make the business community really accountable. And just thanks for the opportunity to share what we're doing, and just really to share what everybody, whether they're in Australia, whether they're in Kapunda in South Australia where I'm born, or whether they're in Hong Kong or anywhere around the world, there's a way to show your support. And maybe it's even just sharing the information as well and changing hearts and minds, because you can never put a price on that.
That was Bess Hepworth of Planet Ally. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. It's 20 minutes to 7. You can get in touch with us. Let us know what your thoughts are on any of the topics we're discussing tonight. You can SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. And, of course, we're on Twitter at The Informer Joy. My name is Shannon Power, and we're moving on to a brand new weekly segment now, which is very exciting. We're going to dissect, analyse and talk about the week's big news from a queer perspective. Every week, we will invite Australia's top LGBTI journalists to tear apart the weekly news. Tonight on our first panel, we will have I'd like to introduce our regular contributors. Joining us tonight is my co-host and former Fairfax journalist, Alana Schetzer, and Joy presenter and former same Victorian editor, Dean Arcuri, is here with us. Finally, joining us on the line from Sydney is the New Star Observer editor, Matthew Wade. Thanks for joining us, guys. First up, Australian Grand Slam champion Margaret Court has been in the headlines this week. She garnered international media attention when she sent a letter to the editor of the West Australian newspaper saying she would boycott Qantas Airlines. Court was not happy with Qantas CEO's Alan Joyce's support of marriage equality. It's not the first time Court has expressed homophobic views. Then yesterday it came to light she had compared trans kids to Hitler, and she suggested older lesbian tennis players would groom younger women on the professional circuit when she was still playing. And of course, everyone is up in arms about this. They've asked for the Margaret Court Arena in Melbourne to be renamed. But my question for the panel is, and we'll go first to you, Matt, is Court's letter to the editor was published in the West Australian, which, while having a sizable audience, her letter might not have been seen by many people. Furthermore, her other comments, comparing trans kids to Hitler and what have you, were said during an interview with a Christian radio station, which, again, might not have had such a huge audience. It was only when other media outlets picked up the story that it went international. Matt, I want to ask you, is the media responsible for spreading her vitriol, or is it necessary? Is it the media's duty to highlight her views and then the consequences of those views?
I mean, I understand many people who would say, you know, don't give Margaret oxygen. She's obviously just spreading hate. But I mean, in a few very swift comments, Margaret has essentially delegitimized entire groups of people across the country, you know, insinuating that younger trans and gender diverse people are being conditioned into becoming trans. And I think people like that need to be held to account, you know, if only so that the many younger, I guess, vulnerable LGBTI people in Australia can see that, you know, that kind of behavior isn't acceptable.
Alana, what do you think? Should the media not, you know, I guess, put her comments out there to a wider audience?
It's a really difficult question. I think part of the reason why this has gathered so much attraction and widespread, you know, all over social media is because she's high profile. If she was just Joe Blow off the street, this would not have been spread so widely. And also because of her comments last week, this was just a natural follow-up. I think what was good about, if anything good can come out of this, is for people to realise that even though we have come so far with LGBTI issues, with acceptance and tolerance, there are still people out there who are absolutely filled with hatred and hold really, really horrible views. And I think that made it was good for people to see that we have so much work to do still.
I think that's a really good point. Dean, what do you think about this whole Margaret Court debacle?
Look, I don't think any of us disagree that when this kind of stuff is put out into the world, we shouldn't do our part to talk about it, to share it, and to share the side to it where it's not correct. But we're over a week where this initial thing has happened, and yes, there's been more conversations that have carried through, and the conversation doesn't really seem to be pivoting away from, should we change the arena? Look, she said something like this. It's not actually news that Margaret Court has said homophobic things. It's well documented, and also racist things. She says her views, and she's entitled to them, to share them in whatever platform she feels is right, as are many other people. My concern is that the conversation's going around in circles like a mouse in a wheel, and I think it's the obligation of we within the media to take that in a new direction or pivot away from it.
Absolutely. Now, that brings me to my next question. Tennis legend Martina Navratilova, who is, of course, a member of the LGBTI community, penned an op-ed in Fairfax Media today where she essentially said everyone's entitled to free speech and to have their opinion, but not to the consequences of it. So where do we draw the line at what people are entitled to say or cannot be allowed to say? Where is it too much? Alana, can I throw to you on this one?
Asking all the hard questions tonight.
That's what we're here for.
It's what I'm here for. Look, I think what was said is absolutely right. You know, free speech is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin are consequences. And that is something that we don't often talk about when we have these overblown, often ideologically fueled discussions about free speech, what it means, who has it. Margaret Court has had her free speech. She has had wide publicity. She's also having consequences. The fact that she called that bullying, I would challenge that. I think there was consequences.
Matt, what do you think? You know, we're all entitled to our opinion and to free speech, but should we always exercise that right?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps it's a hardline view, Shannon, but I think, you know, everyone's entitled to say, I mean, people can say what they want, but I think particularly if you're a notable figure that people kind of potentially look up to, I mean, sporting is a pastime in Australia. You know, a lot of people, I imagine, would have looked up to Margaret as, you know, the tennis champion that she was. You know, if she's going to say that, then I think she certainly should, you know, have to face the repercussions, because you can't say something like that, which is going to affect many, many people, and just expect that, you know, you're not going to get caught backlash.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to our next topic, you know, I think this is something that we probably all have to address as journalists generally, but we do our LGBTI journos working in queer media. You know, I think ensuring LGBTI media outlets are fully inclusive of people from diverse backgrounds is the responsibility of journalists and editors. But many queer outlets are often accused of being too white, too cisgendered, and too male. And this applies to outlets around the world. So how do queer journos make sure they're being inclusive in their reporting and storytelling without being tokenistic? And Matt, this month's Star Observer kind of covers this topic of how is the wider LGBTI can be inclusive of people of colour? And you actually ask people of colour their opinions. What insights do you have for us about that?
Well, it's one of those things where I think one of the most common things that I've heard thus far, I guess, from people of color is that I think a lot of, as far as they're saying, a lot of cisgendered white people tend to kind of live in a bit of a bubble. So, you know, a lot of these people of color, queer people in our community in Australia are saying, you know, they're kind of saying, wake up, you know, there's a lot of other people out there and they need to be recognized, you know. I think, and I'm not trying to put a blanket kind of statement across all cisgender white people, but I think, you know, a lot of people just live in a bubble and they're not even aware that, you know, there are people, plenty of other people out there that just aren't recognized. They're rendered invisible by the media and just in public generally.
So, Dean, I want to ask you, when you were reporting for Same Same and you're a presenter on Joy, you've been, you know, working in queer media a long time. We know that we need to diversify the voices that are represented. How can we do that, I guess, as white people ourselves without sort of just ticking boxes and saying, yes, we're diverse?
Well, this was something that when I was working for Same Same, it was actually myself and one other person who was working for the organisation, and we were both male, we were both white, and we were both cisgendered, and we talk about this often. And even it's something that we talk about here at Joy. And the thing with it really is I'm doing my job. My job isn't to constantly talk. My job as a journalist isn't to tell you my opinion. My job is to share the views and opinions of others. And it's about reaching out and doing that further. I think Matt's doing a great job with that at Star Observer. The hard part is you have to really work to engage with these organisations, people of colour, and other members of these diverse communities, because they're not necessarily going to trust you or trust what you're doing. And that's the whole point, is to build the relationships and actually really build on the networks so that you're not ticking a box, so that you're really hearing what they're saying and you're really communicating what those members of the community need to tell and what needs to be heard.
Yeah, and I think you've got a great point there. I mean, we sort of have an obligation to report on all the stories that come through the community, and you take that feedback from community and speak to them, and then you're able to report on it. Alana, how can you make sure that you're representing all of the voices without, I guess, being paternalistic or tokenistic, particularly in the LGBTI community?
I think it's about self-awareness. I think the queer media is doing a better job than the general media of this awareness. And I think it's about taking the time to reach out to different people. Often you're on a tight deadline, you've got to file something, you're going to go to the person who you know is going to pick up the phone, they're going to answer their email. I think it's about taking time to expand your contacts and actually encouraging people from different groups, from different perspectives, to engage with you. And sometimes that can mean spending extra time to earn their trust. It's worth it, though.
It's so worth it.
And just to bounce off Alana, sorry, I think that, it's perhaps even more important within queer media because, you know, sometimes some of the stories we're reporting on, you know, no one else is reporting on in the mainstream media. So it's almost our obligation to make sure that some of the most marginalized people in the country who aren't having their voices heard or their stories told, you know, have a platform. And I guess in many ways, places like Joy, well, formerly Same Same, Star Observer, that's where they have the opportunity to do that. So I think it's a really important task, but something that, you know, I think we're all working to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. Alana?
I just think it's interesting that the queer media already faces challenges in representing a community that has suffered so much. And yet, I think it's also careful. We have to be careful to make sure that we are not over-obliging ourselves to take on more heavy lifting. Often it does come up to communities that are already under pressure to do the heavy lifting, to do everything. I think this has to be a media-wide initiative.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that was a great way to kick off our very first Queer Journos Roundtable on The Informer. We'll be back every Thursday. I want to thank Matthew Wade from Star Observer, Alana Schetzer and Dean R. Curie for their insights. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much.
You're on The Informer, Joy's nightly news program. We would not be a Melbourne radio station without having a chat about the AFL. Here are Fee, Danae and Rachel from Chicks Talking Footy with their weekly wrap-up of the big footy news.
What's been really exciting about what's happening in our community in relation to football is that there's now 10 teams out of 18 football teams in the AFL that have LGBTI supporter groups.
Fantastic.
So everyone from the Purple Bombers is probably the biggest supporter base.
The Pink Magpies have been around for a long time.
They've been around for a long time. Rainbow Swans. I was up at the SCG on Friday night for the game, and they you could see the rainbow scarves everywhere. Fantastic. Across the ground, and flags being waved. And often if you're watching an AFL game, you can see people like the Saints Pride waving their flags behind the goals. The Bulldogs have just launched their new Pride group as well.
And there's Rainbow Giants and Rainbow Crows.
Yes, Rainbow Giants, Rainbow Crows.
Blue Roos.
Then the Blue Roos and a couple of others. So Rachel and I, both Hawks supporters, we're looking to set up a Hawks LGBTI supporter group. A working title at the moment is the Glitter Hawks.
With a silent B.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why it's interesting in the community to have support groups is that allies get involved in supporting LGBTIQ AFL supporters. And it's fantastic. And we've heard from one of them this week, haven't we?
We have. And it's also demonstrated in the commencement of a Pride game that's coming up in July between Sydney and St Kilda. St Kilda football team has been instrumental in that round. That's also very exciting.
Now, Carly Ziegler, who's the wife of Jack Riewoldt, wrote a great piece about the Golden Tigers, who is another LGBTI supporter group for the Richmond Football Club. What did she have to say, Rachel?
She has written quite a lovely, eloquent piece, and it starts off with, "On the 5th of June 2016, the most wonderful person asked to marry me. Some of you might know him as full forward as Richmond, Jack Riewoldt, but to me, he is the same old annoying guy from my English class that I met near 11. I'm not going to lie, I'm not really the wedding type. Getting married had always been important to Jack, but not so much to me. I've always been far more invested in thinking about the life we were building together outside of a possible wedding, but surprised myself and was beyond ecstatic. There are no words to describe the joy that followed us in those next few months, so much so that I couldn't believe that for such a long time myself in thinking I wasn't the marriage type. Reflecting on this joy, it suddenly became so obvious how privileged I was to even be able to consider marriage in such a way. The debate of equality was right on my own doorstep. I can't begin to imagine how it must feel to have the decision denied completely, and I never will. I'm lucky enough to have not lived that experience, and it would simply be unkind and naive to pretend I know how devastating this must be. When I share this realisation with Angela Forrester and Luke Sorrell, the founders of Richmond's very own LGBTIQ supporter group, the Golden Tigers, they nod to one another, and I feel as though there is a long-running inside joke that I suddenly understand. It has long been clear to them that not everyone in our country agrees that we should all be entitled to marry whoever we love, regardless of sex or gender."
And she goes on to talk about how it's important that everyone feels safe at the football. And I know that AFL football hasn't always been a place where our community has felt safe, or that people have felt safe to be themselves. Yeah. So it's just so great to see the rainbow flags everywhere at the grounds.
And the support from many people within the football community.
That's right.
Everyone is welcome, and allies are much appreciated.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9, a show bringing you the day's news from an LGBTI perspective. Thanks to the Chicks Talking Footy for their AFL wrap. You can catch them Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Joy.
That's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back on Monday at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform.
We'd like to thank tonight's guests, Bess Hepworth, Matthew Wade, Dean Akuri, and the Chicks Talking Footy. Thank you so much for our first Journo's Talking Corner. And we'd like to thank our extended Informer team, including our panellist Dean, for putting together tonight's show. My name's Alana Schetzer.
So Alana, tell us, this is the first time you've joined us on The Informer, and you're pretty keen on doing the Journo's Corner. How have you found the experience so far?
Fantastic. Look, sometimes journos, believe it or not, can be accused of having egos and like talking about themselves in the industry. But I think given how, particularly coming out of this horrible talk of the plebiscite, how we talk about LGBTI issues, it's really highlighted how important it is that we discuss how it's portrayed, what subjects are discussed, who gets a say in what. You know, as Margaret Court, her latest controversy revealed, there are people, we think we've come so far, and yeah, there are people with very dangerous views, and we do need to police what's been said and how, not in a bad Russian way.
Sure.
I just want to point that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important to look at queer stories, queer media, and see and how what kind of job we're doing, because it's also important to self-analyze and make sure that we're doing the best for the community. Because as Matthew Wade said, we often are reporting on stories that nobody else is talking about. So we have to make sure that we're doing it fairly and we're doing it properly. Tell us really quickly, Alana, why were you interested in getting involved with Joy?
Oh, I love the sound of my own voice.
Look, don't we all? You'd fit in perfectly then with the presenters at Joy.
Look, I think it's fantastic. This is a Media Watch-esque show. As you said, it's so important that we self-reflect, that we analyse, and that we invite people to have this discussion. Just because you're part of a community doesn't mean that you have to accept and like how it's portrayed, what stories are covered. So we really need to encourage and have this conversation with everybody. Invite them. This is your story. These are your lives. We want to make sure that we are discussing them in a way that is going to help people the most.
Absolutely. Well, we've had a very big second week back on The Informer and a very big show tonight. We do need to thank our full team, David and Ian, and our panellists, Corey, Hamish and Dean and Jaden, for helping out all this week. We'll be back with another big, big news week on The Informer. I'm Shannon Power.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.